8 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning on this Tuesday, and we have a very, very special guest for you this morning. And certainly everybody knows MGM. Yes, for a long, long time, but the MGM that all of us are interested in around here is in Springfield and also coming to Bridgeport. And we are honored to have with us this morning the Senior Vice President and MGM lawyer, Uri Clinton. Mr. Clinton, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Uri.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Uri's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Explain to our audience the overall presentation from yesterday. Casino, hotel, retail. Give us an overview.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a destination resort, ideally situated in Bridgeport, Connecticut. It would be located just 62 miles from New York City's 8.5 million people. And this is not just a casino, not just a 1,000 slot machines in a room. This is 5 to 6 restaurants, bars and lounges. This is a 20,000-foot entertainment center.
Wow.
This is unique offerings, about 30,000-square-foot of retail, a 300-room hotel, scenic boardwalk, because you can do it right on the water. It's absolutely beautiful. We were out there yesterday, and you can just see what the future could yield if we can get the lawmakers in Hartford to actually give the approval and allow us to move forward.
Well, certainly, Uri, I don't see why they would not approve something like this for the state of Connecticut. This would be unbelievable for our state.
Yeah, I think that it would actually reverse trends. If you look at the amount of opportunity the state has for real tourism dollars, and I describe that as having destinations within your state that are so uniquely situated that people from throughout the region and the United States would look for those opportunities for vacations and for their formal events and for their weekend giveaways. And we think that Bridgeport, with its absolutely beautiful water scene, has that potential to give New Yorkers an opportunity to have a break and to spend money in Connecticut that they wouldn't otherwise consider.
Now, Uri, we have read several stories about this, but from MGM's perspective, what's the advantage for the state of Connecticut in the area of revenue and for the cities of Bridgeport and New Haven?
Yeah, so the first thing that you do with responsible large-scale development is you look for what do you need to do to make the local city whole. You're looking for an opportunity that lifts everyone's economic prosperity. And so one of the things that we've committed to right out of the back is a host community agreement where we would pay the city of Bridgeport $8 million a year. And that's not based on revenue. It's not based on whether or not the casino has a great year or a good year. It's just simply if the doors are open at the beginning of the year, the city would get $8 million. And then we also understand that the region, this part of Connecticut, is so integrated. So we want to make sure that the surrounding communities also get benefits. So we've budgeted $4.5 million annually on the same terms for the surrounding communities. And a part of that would go to support a workforce development center in the city of New Haven. And one of the things that people don't understand about casinos is that they're exceptionally sophisticated operations. For example, if you have 2,000 slot machines going 24 hours a day, you need slot machine technicians, which are essentially people able to do computer programming and work on them at a moment's notice. So you need an entire shift of those people always available. And then surveillance jobs. No question that casinos are monitored. You got large amounts of cash. And so those surveillance jobs are highly technical jobs. And then the good old-fashioned counting of cash. Those jobs are so important. People with the skill set to count large amounts of money have future in the financial industry beyond casinos. So from our perspective, we want to train people in the local area who currently don't have skill sets to match these jobs and who currently, quite frankly, are underemployed or unemployed to have this new opportunity. So one of the things we're committing to is 2,000 jobs from the first day of operation until the last, and so a minimum of 2,000 jobs. And those are direct hires. The last point on jobs is when a company comes into town, you can call it an insurance company, you can call it a financial bank. They come to town, they hire a few thousand people, or a few hundred people, I guess, and they have one shift, 8 to 5, and everybody goes home. When you have the world-class casino entertainment venue, it operates 24 hours a day. And what that means is that you need 3 shifts of people. So you get the benefit of putting 3 times as many people to work because the operations don't stop at 5 o'clock. So we're excited about what this means for Bridgeport. We're excited about what it means for southwestern Connecticut, and we're excited about what it means overall for the state. And one last point, for the state, we're offering an immediate payment of $50 million in license fee. No strings attached, not a credit. This is the right to hold a privileged gaming license. And, you know, in Connecticut, everybody pays a licensing fee. If you're a lawyer, a pharmacist, a dentist, you engineers, we all pay these license fees. And so we think it necessary that a casino license holder also pay that fee. And when you look at the fact that the state is 81 days without a budget, that the October 1st deadline is coming fast, I can't believe that the state of Connecticut would not demand a license fee from any casino operation. And certainly MGM is saying we would pay that fee before construction. We pay that fee for fiscal year 2018.
Of course, all of this has got to get through the General Assembly, correct?
Absolutely.
And obviously you're going to run into some static from the tribal-run casinos. So what kind of a battle or what kind of a legislative fracas do you expect?
Well, I mean, I honestly would tell you that we think that the tribes have had a duopoly for 20 years. And any time you have a monopoly or a duopoly, you know, one, it's not good to the consumers. We all understand that. But two, you fight to keep it. And so we do believe that they'll fight. But I think it's highly unfortunate that the tribes would call themselves friends of the state and then hold a gun to the state's head and say, you better not modernize. You better not do what every other state has done when they think about casino expansion. If you look at your neighbors in Massachusetts, they had a competitive bid process. Even the Mohegan tribes went there to compete. They required a $85 million license fee before you began construction. They required local hiring requirements, local procurement requirements to make sure that the local businesses got a piece of the construction, a piece of the procurement budget. And so we think that was the right way to do it. We do believe that the tribes will fight for their privilege. We think that 20 years ago, that deal made sense. If you look at the decline in revenues paid by the tribes, in 2007, they paid $430 million. That's gone down precipitously to 2017 of $270 million, and it's actually projected to go down again next year. In fact, Oxford Economics says that in 2019, the tribes would be at their compact minimum of $175 million. So what we're offering the state of Connecticut is an opportunity to right the ship now so that you don't find yourself with another budget crisis with the next budget cycle that comes on, but that you have an opportunity to participate in new revenues. The last point that I would make is that New York is only 62 miles from Bridgeport. The opportunity to really leverage that market for new gaming revenues is 100% unique. Bridgeport is actually closer to New York City than 7 of the New York licensed casinos. In fact, there are only 2 casinos in the city that are closer than Bridgeport to that population.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton, yeah. Senior Vice President and MGM lawyer, will be right back. 21 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, a very special guest this morning, Hillary Clinton, Senior Vice President and MGM lawyer, all about Bridgeport, Connecticut, and MGM's proposed $675 million waterfront. Yuri, I am from the area, born and raised in the area. I went to Springfield College, and I get into Springfield a great deal. And ever since, you folks have been doing what you are doing with a casino up there, there has been so much excitement. I've had people tell me from all areas of that particular city that what this is going to do for Springfield, you can't even measure yet. So I just wanted to pass that along to you from the experience I've had with some of the people up in Springfield.
Thank you so much. We're excited about that project that opens in 2018, and we've started training people. We started interviewing people and lining jobs up. And, you know, interesting note, you know the area, how close that city is,
yes,
to a large population of Connecticut residents. We actually have a good number of Connecticut residents applying and getting hired for that development. So we're excited about that and what it means to the region.
Now, Yuri, MGM, because we all know what's going on with that proposed satellite casino in East Windsor, and now the Bureau of Indian Affairs has sent a letter to the state, which some believe is confusing because their lack of taking a position. But MGM, they're fighting this in court. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've always said that that process was unconstitutional and that it was ill-fitted policy. And so we promised that we will contend that in court. And the, you know, interesting note, though, the Department of Interior, that was required to approve the amendments, and they did not. And, you know, they did send, you call it a confusing letter, but what is clear from the letter is that it is not an approval. So, and the statutory requirement mandated that the Department of Interior approve the amendments. And there was a critical point there. The Attorney General said that if you proceeded without express approval from the Department of Interior, then the state was putting itself at risk to be in breach of federal law and breach of the compact and the payment stream that continues to go from the tribal slot machine revenue to the state. And so there's considerable risk with the fact that the tribes are trying to go forward without the Department of Interior approval. I think the Attorney General will have a lot to say about that.
Now, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals in New York, I guess, rejected your claim. Where does that stand?
Yeah, essentially, one of the core points there was that the Second Circuit Court of Appeals said that the case wasn't ripe. And so the tribal casino in East Windsor hadn't yet, you know, kind of gotten all the approvals, and that case was based on the initial 2015 law. So we've moved a long way since 2015, and, you know, we're looking for the right opportunity to go back in, and we've been very honest about that. We've told the governor, we've told the Attorney General, we've told the General Assembly that the law was so poorly drafted that we will go back in the court as soon as we got past the ripeness issues, and we think that we're getting there quickly.
Hillary Clinton, Senior Vice President and MGM lawyer, as we sit here and listen this morning with our radio audience, Hillary, and we think about Springfield and we think about Bridgeport, what are we thinking about in the essence of time? When would it happen if this all goes through? When will it become a part of our lives?
Yeah. Well, what we do know is that MGM is ready to write the $50 million license fee check for 2018. What we don't know until we have the debates and the discussions in Hartford is, you know, what their approval process will be. And we also don't know when they would give us the green light to go ahead and proceed. And so once we get the right to proceed and you finish the you call it enabling work, we would agree to a 30-month construction window. And so we did this successfully in Springfield. We did it successfully in Maryland, where within 30 to 33 months, we're able to, once we break ground, we're able to complete the construction process and have the doors open so revenue can start coming in. Once we have a better feel for how the General Assembly will handle the situation and what approval time frame they'll require, then we'll know clearly kind of what the first year of revenue would be.
Yuri, what does MGM see in the area, and for that matter in the region, to make it believe that with the two tribal-run casinos in southeastern Connecticut, with the MGM complex going up in Springfield, that there's enough of a population base to sustain yet another casino resort?
Yeah, I would tell you that I think you're absolutely right. One of the things that puzzled me about the East Windsor Casino was that it's 15 minutes away from a $950 million casino MGM's building in Springfield. And it just doesn't make sense for the region there to think that you're going to do anything positive by putting a remodeled theater there. But what we're offering in Bridgeport is truly a destination resort. It is truly a opportunity for Bridgeport to offer amenities that are far beyond what's available within that market. And that market is not the Eastern Connecticut market. That market is truly the New York market. So the reason why we think that there is a market is because there are 8.5 million residents in New York City. There are only two casinos. The 60-mile drive between New York City and Bridgeport means that New York City is in the primary marketing universe for the Bridgeport Casino. And I'll take it a step farther and tell you that you've got rail service to Bridgeport from the city. You have the opportunity from Long Island to have high-speed ferries. You've got a way to get the population from New York and New York City into Bridgeport easy and effectively. And that creates a totally new market. If those same people wanted to go to Foxwood or Mohegan, they got to drive 133, 140 miles, which means that it's not a weekend trip as easily as would be the Bridgeport. And so that's why we think this actually is the only casino proposal that Connecticut's looking at that grows the market. We did this in Maryland, where we were the sixth casino to open. We opened a beautiful 1.4 billion-dollar facility, and we found that we grew Maryland's market by approximately 20 to 30%. And so we think that the right placement in Bridgeport would actually grow the market.
Okay, I can understand that, but what does MGM see in general terms when you've got a Foxwoods and a Mohegan Sun also considered destination points, and their slot machine revenues continue to drop? What does MGM see that it would be able to reverse that trend?
Yeah, I think the proximity to New York. I mean, I just would tell you, it's 60 miles, a direct connecting. If you want to go to Foxwood and Mohegan, I mean, they're not in populated areas. I mean, you've got to want to get there. One of the reasons that their slot machine revenue continues to decrease is because of competition on the eastern side of their properties. If you were to look at a map of casinos and where they're located, you've got casinos in Rhode Island. You've got casinos in Massachusetts. Those casinos are eating at Foxwood and Mohegan. And specifically, the threat to Foxwood and Mohegan is really going to be when Wynn opens in Everett, Massachusetts. And so all the Boston play that they were getting, that's going to be eaten up by Wynn. And so the question here is, does the state of Connecticut sit by and go down with those two tribal casinos, or the state of Connecticut say, we're going to modernize our gaming policy. We have a ready, underserved market in New York City, and we're going to start positioning ourselves to take advantage of that. so that any loss that Foxwood and Mohegan has can be offset.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
and I hope, Yuri, that you can join Dan and myself again as this progresses. We certainly want to say good luck to you. I think it would be a great addition, personally.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me.
Yuri, thanks so much. We'll talk again down the road. Be well.
Okay. Thank you. Good
day. Take care.